Have you ever glanced at your engine gauges and cruise and seen a number that made your stomach drop? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to walk through a scenario that most training programs mention once and then move on from, but it's one that can absolutely ruin your afternoon if you haven't thought it through ahead of time. We're talking about oil pressure, specifically what happens when that needle starts moving in a direction you don't want, and what you need to do in the next 15 minutes to put this airplane on the ground safely. Before we get into it, quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. If you're working through your ratings, these folks make challenge coins for every milestone. First solo, private pilot, instrument commercial. They're a great way to mark the moments that actually matter in this journey. AviationSoul.com, good people. All right, let's set the scene. You're 50 nautical miles from your home airport. It's a beautiful VFR day. You're at 5,500 feet, cruising along, maybe listening to a podcast or working on your flight following callouts. Life is good. And then you notice it, the oil pressure gauge, which normally sits right in the green arc around 60 psi, is reading 45, maybe 40. Now, here's the first decision point, and it's the one that separates pilots who handle emergencies well from pilots who don't. What do you do right now in this second? The wrong answer is to stare at it and hope it comes back up. The wrong answer is to tap the gauge and tell yourself it's probably just a sticky needle. And the wrong answer is to do nothing and keep flying toward home because home is only 25 minutes away. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The moment you notice an abnormal indication, you're already behind the timeline. The engine doesn't care about your schedule. It doesn't care that you have dinner plans. It cares about oil, and if it's not getting enough, you have a finite window before things get very expensive or very dangerous. So let's walk through this together. Step 1, cross-reference. Look at your oil temperature. Is it rising? If pressure is dropping and temperature is rising, you have a real problem, not an instrument anomaly. Those two gauges together tell you a story. Low pressure plus rising temperature means oil is either leaking out of the system or it's not circulating properly. Either way, that engine is on borrowed time. If the pressure is low but the temperature is normal or even cool, you might have an instrument issue. But here's the thing. You cannot bet your life on might. You plan for the worst and hope for the best. Step 2. Reduce power. This feels counterintuitive when you're 50 miles from an airport and you want to get there fast, but a high power setting means more friction, more heat, and more demand on whatever oil you have left. Pull the throttle back to a conservative cruise setting. You're trading speed for time. Time for that engine to keep running long enough to get you somewhere safe. Step 3. Find an airport. Right now. Not your home airport 50 miles away. The nearest airport. Pull up your GPS, your sectional, whatever you've got. Where can you land in the next 10 minutes? Because here's the reality. If that oil pressure continues to drop, you might have 15 minutes of engine operation. You might have 5. You don't know, and no one can tell you. This is where your pre-flight planning pays off. If you briefed your route and noted airports along the way, you already know where you're going. If you didn't, you're now trying to find an airport while managing an emergency. And that task saturation is real. Step 4. Communicate. If you're on flight following, tell ATC. Approach. Cessna 1729er Alpha. I'm showing low oil pressure. I'd like to divert to Smithfield Municipal. They'll clear traffic for you. They'll have emergency services standing by if you want them. There's no ego in this moment. Use every resource available. If you're not on flight following, get on a frequency. 121.5 if nothing else. Let someone know where you are and what's happening. Now, here's where the scenario branches. And this is what makes decision-making training so important. Let's say you've reduced power. You've identified an airport 12 miles to your east, and you're turning toward it. The oil pressure is now at 35 psi and still dropping. Oil temperature is climbing past the yellow arc. Do you declare an emergency? Yes, you declare an emergency. The Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot expect you to understand that an emergency exists when the outcome of the flight is in doubt. Your engine may quit in the next few minutes. The outcome is very much in doubt. Squawk 7700. Say the words, Mayday, 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 or simply tell ATC you're declaring an emergency. The paperwork afterward is trivial. The FAA is not going to violate you for being cautious. They might send you a letter asking for a written statement, and you'll write one, and that'll be the end of it. Now, let's make this harder. Because real life always does. Same scenario, but there's no airport within 12 miles. The nearest field is 22 miles away. Below you is a mix of farmland and scattered trees. Your oil pressure is at 30 and dropping. What do you do? This is the point where you need to accept that a precautionary landing in a field might be the safest option. A controlled power-on landing in a suitable field is survivable. an engine seizure at low altitude with no plan is not. Look below you. What do you see? A long, flat green field with no power lines on the approach end. That might be your runway today. The airplane is insured. You are not. Here's the decision framework that I want you to carry with you on every flight. When an engine instrument goes abnormal, ask yourself three questions in order. First, is this real? Cross-reference with other instruments? Oil pressure low plus oil temperature high equals real. Oil pressure low plus everything else normal equals possibly an instrument failure. But treat it as real until proven otherwise. Second, how much time do I have? If the gauge is dropping steadily, think minutes, not hours. If it's low but stable, you have more time, but don't waste it. Third, where am I going to put this airplane? Not where do I want to land. Where am I going to land right now? If the engine quits in the next 60 seconds, always have that answer ready. Update it constantly. Every 30 seconds, look outside and pick a spot. This is the habit that saves lives. The examiner on your check ride is looking for exactly this kind of structured thinking. They're not expecting you to be calm and robotic. They're expecting you to prioritize, aviate, navigate, communicate in that order. Fly the airplane first. Always fly the airplane first. Let me tell you what goes wrong when pilots don't think through this scenario ahead of time. They fixate on getting home. They see that oil pressure at 40 and they think, well, it's still in the green, or it's barely in the yellow. I'll just keep going. And for 12 more minutes, nothing happens. And then at minute 13, the engine seizes. And now they're a glider at 3,000 feet over terrain. They haven't evaluated with no plan, and the panic sets in. The accident reports from the National Transportation Safety Board are full of these events. Pilot continued flight with a known engine indication. Almost every single one of them had an airport or a suitable field within diversion distance earlier in the flight. They just didn't take it. So here's your takeaway for your next flight. Before you take off on a cross country, look at the airports along your route. Not just the ones at each end, the ones in the middle. Know where they are, know their runway length. Know which direction you'd turn to get there from your planned route. Make it a 2-minute exercise during your flight planning. And in cruise, every few minutes, glance at those engine gauges. Oil pressure, oil temperature, cylinder head temperature if you have it. Know what normal looks like so that abnormal jumps off the panel at you, because the 15 minutes after you notice that gauge dropping are not the time to learn your emergency procedures, they're the time to execute them. That one's drawn from the FAA Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, Chapter 17 on Emergency Procedures, and backed up by more NTSB reports than I'd like to count. You can find more scenario practice like this at radiohangar.com.
Fly smart out there. I'll see you next time.